just a normal high school student like you and me with the ability to say rhymes like nobody's business. This alternative lyricist has garnered himself a slight internet celebrity status with songs ranging from black influence to just being happy. This artist really has some style behind him, but if you were to see him, you wouldn't even begin to think he was this amazing lyricist. He's Winston Wright, a.k.a. Super Duke Wellington, and I'm Ryan Harris. Let's get into a Super Duke interview.
Well, we have a guest.
Now I'm going to destroy you.
We better run. Isn't that right, Father? You don't know what you're up against, boy.
I know exactly what I'm up against for reason.
So hey, I'm here with Mr. Super Duke Wellington himself, Winston Wright. I figured we'd just sort of talk about sort of your upcomings and things like that, and then sort of go off from there.
Life as it seems, it's only a dream, so I don't start living till I fall asleep every time that I breathe, I'm inhaling a thousand worlds. So
how did you become Super Duke Wellington?
Well, when I was younger, both of my parents, they were already in education, and my mother, she was an entrepreneur, and they did something, they just did poetry on the side as a type of fun thing for them to do. So they started to record a lot of poetry sessions on CDs and like give them out to people. And my neighbor, he would record the CDs for him, so we'd go in his basement, and he had like this Jimmy Rigg studio, like this, you know, keyboard, and he plugged in to his computer, and a mic on a broomstick, and a sock over the mic, and I just always see him, so I just, you know, figured, why can't I do that? And it was just something that I always wanted to kind of do, just the music overall, because I just thought it was really cool, and I think that, you know, you need music to live, and vice versa. So.
Cool. So, like, what types of things did your parents, like, sort of write about?
Well, they wrote about a lot of, I don't know, they were very Afrocentric growing up, like, we had a really big kind of Afro influence, like, my mom, in her spare time, like, when we, in her leisure time at the house, she would always dress in dashikis, and she would, she started growing her locks when I was about 6 years old, like, she's had them for about 9 years now, and, you know, she tried to give me hair locks, but, you know, I wasn't doing it then, and they started to write about, you know, the black influence, and welfare. It was just a lot of things on how, like, people, or black people in the world today need to be reformed, especially in America. So a lot of my thing, in a lot of my songs, you'll hear me say certain things that pertain to that.
Yo, yo, yo. Yeah. Yo. Yo. Is there ever a time when your thoughts intersect? I wake up thinking, why do I waste my breath?
How did the name Super Duke come from?
Oh, that's such cool. Well, originally, I went through a bunch of various names, and of course, Wellington is my middle name, and Super came from my influence on Dragon Ball Z.
You shouldn't be throwing your life away like this. No one will know. Just let me leave.
There is someone watching and laughing. A friend of mine that you killed in the past. He's someone I could never let down.
Don't worry. You'll be seeing your friend shortly.
I went to a Japanese language immersion school in the second grade, so I was really highly influenced by Japanese culture, and it was just something that, you know, I thought would be cool. So the Super Saiyan in Dragon Ball Z, and then Duke Ellington, the famous jazz musician, I'd always, you know, listen to him as a child, and I just thought he was awesome, so I just pieced it together, Super Duke Wellington, and it's a long name, but, you know, that's, it gets there.
But yeah, I noticed, like, a lot of, and especially, like, your first EP, yeah, talks about, like, a lot of Afrocentric type things, and I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, yeah, I just had, like, I mean, when, it was funny, because originally, when I lived in Seattle, Seattle's a very diverse place, and that's where I was born, and most of my family lives on the West Coast. And, you know, there was, there's a lot of open-minded people there, so race never really meant anything right. that much. And then I moved here, and I lived in the suburbs, so I was around mostly either kind of middle-class, wealthy black kids or Jewish kids, a lot of Jewish kids. And then I moved to Nashville, and that's where like, I really got my first taste of the stereotypical black person down in the South, and that's when I was like, oh my God, it just got real. And so, like, that's when I just, like, you know, started trying to help and reform the black race and just prove that stereotypes don't exist in everyone.
Yeah, like you mentioned, stereotypical black person. I know, when, like, people see you, like, oh, a black guy, he's supposed to be, like, a rapper, but...
Yeah.
And, like, all they really talk about is, like, money, cars, women, things like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, of course, you know, you all have your beginnings. And when I first started, I was a cliche type of rapper. I was in the seventh grade, and that's the first year I moved to Nashville. And one of my friends from here in Philly, they called me, and they were like, hey, man, you want to do this? And I did it, and it was horrible, of course. But then in the eighth grade, I don't know, something just happened. Like, I activated my mind or something, and I just, like, escalated and just became, I guess, good. As some people
say. Sort of went to, like, that alternative type thing.
Yeah, definitely. I never listened to mainstream rap music before in my life. Like, everything for me, I listened to a lot of Bob Marley, Lauryn Hill, Jimi Hendrix. Those were, like, the main people. I used to love the band Green Day, and I listened to a lot of blues, a lot of B.B. King, and a lot of jazz, and I still do. And so I never really listened to hip-hop music, and the first thing I ever listened to was Jimmy Castor, and he had made this song, and it was back in, like, the 70s, about, like, the boogeyman, and it was, like, really funkadelic and stuff, so that was my first taste of rap I ever gotten. I don't know, it just evolved from there, so I do consider myself, like, an alternative type of musician now.
Super Duke Wellington, rest in peace, Bushido Brown. It's the coffee and the cream, sock monkey technique. Different variations from the soul and the beats. Chops like knife, Dilla, even Pete. Nas keeps falling but never 6 feet deep. The opposite of the uncultured albino, claiming that he made it when he sported rhinestones. Got the jeans and the
Yeah, sort of coming into, like, the whole rapper thing. Like, when I first saw you, I didn't think you'd be, like, a rapper. Like, a lot of people sort of see, like, who is this guy with this sweater and skinny jeans? Like, what's he doing rapping? Like, he's not good. But then, like, when people actually hear you and, like, your album and stuff, like, wow, this guy's actually, you know, he's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, like, I hate the term rapper. I don't even like the term. I don't even claim the word hip-hop. Like, I'll mention it in my songs, but really, if you search me up online or anything, you look at any of my albums, they're never really under hip-hop because I hate that. I just can't stand it. Rapping is just something that, you know, as a kid, like, there's always, like, those rap songs that you're like, oh, that's very catchy, but at the same time, they're saying horrible things.
Yeah, like, just no real.
There's no real thing, you know. I think that overall, like, music, you can express yourself with it, but in the form of writing lyrics that don't have to rhyme or don't have to be passionate about anything, you need to express something. So in every song, I'm either writing something to be symbolic or writing something to, writing something to, I don't know, just get my point across to someone.
Yeah, I just noticed how, like, you come in and you're just, like, a black guy, but you're wearing, like, these sort of preppy clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Then you sort of come in, but then, like, people see you, like, this guy's pretty good, he can rap, or, like, you don't like being a rapper, but people would consider you a pretty good rapper.
Oh, yeah. Because my childhood really, like, influenced me. My mom was a part of a Victorian society, and she raised... I have three other siblings, and she raised all of us to be preps, anyway, if you put it. And none of my siblings really follow that besides me. I'm the only one, like, I dress in sweaters and corduroys every day. But I don't know, you know? It's just everything that I say and everything that I do, it's just influenced by life. And there's certain times where I might feel like, hey, I'll do this because I want people to feel good. And other times, but most of the time I'm saying something that often a lot of critical people will consider cynical and say that, oh, that's kind of weird. And I have a lot of stuff that, I mean, people of the norm wouldn't get. And but I appreciate it when someone like you or the few other people in, like, you know, in my little fan base that actually appreciate and understand what I'm
talking about. I was talking with a friend of mine who just sort of talking about you, just sort of came up and like sort of described you as having quote unquote preppy boy swag.
Yeah.
And like you sort of have that sort of like not intimidating quality about you, but when you rap, people can see that you actually do have this sort of like fire inside of you.
Oh yeah,
where you come out.
Yeah, I definitely like. It was interesting. Like when I recorded the Hepatitis B song for health class, a lot of people were like, "How'd you change your voice like that?" And I was just like, "That's how I talk outside of the public." And I don't know. My image is something that I've always focused on. Like before, like I don't even wear jeans anymore because I just consider it not. I don't know. You know, you never know who's out there, and I really want to pursue a career in, you know, science and helping, you know, the world. And I just really didn't. I just kind of had to step up my game, if you will. And I mean, before I even like turned 15, I was wearing like all these like flashy shoes and like going up to New York all the time and wearing like snapback hats and stuff, and I was kind of like that, but I just kind of changed it, and now I'm just playing.
So yeah, I listened to your 3 albums and noticed that like a lot of things, sort of life story was a really cool one.
Oh yeah.
How like you aren't that stereotypical black guy, but like being a rapper, people sort of would portray you as that stereotypical black guy because you do rap.
Oh yeah, that was life story was probably one of the most. I mean, I don't consider it the most important song that I wrote, but I know that a lot of people could connect and feel like what I was saying. That was just a song that really, that was all me. Like that was genuine. Like that was just a genuine song. Like everything I said in that was just like, hey, this is me and this is what happens. And I, you know, called White Boy, called an Oreo, and people don't think of it as anything, but in reality, you can't act black, you can't act white, because white and black are colors. So it's, I mean, it's impossible to act like that. And just being stereotypical, I mean, I have an older brother who happens to fit the stereotypical description of a, you know, of a black, you know, male. And I have a lot of family members that choose to follow that path, and I just, you know, want to say, like, that's not me. And, you know, originally, that, it's, you know, black people used to be some of the most intelligent people on the face of the earth, and now we're kind of not so much that.
I'ma live it right. I'ma live it right. I'ma live it right. Yeah, cause that is whack. Yo. That's right.
All
right,
this is a very Super Duke interview you guys just listened to. And remember, check them out on YouTube. It's Winston Wright TV. I'm going to let the song finish playing out.
Yo, life story. And that's how it goes.